guest speaker, and Brother Rudy Smith. I've met him actually for the first time a couple days ago, but he is a good friend of my pastor growing up, Pastor Shear, and they have a very similar story in the tragedy that befell their wives, a little different, and I'll maybe let you tell that story if you want to, and but he's here on vacation again. I said heading to go to Simone. You can come up here and sit here. I'm going to have Auntie sing a song, and then we'll have him preach for us. So I hope you have your Bibles ready.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. Well, it's such a joy to be here. And the brother in Sunday school and also the pastor said aloha. But I want to tell you how we say aloha in South Carolina. Howdy! How about giving me that back? Howdy! All right. So good to be here. We appreciate the privilege. It is an honor. I want you to take your Bible and turn with us to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, as we come to Genesis 22, this is precious scripture indeed. I believe here is where you'll find that Abraham caught a glimpse of the day of Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 56, the Lord Jesus said, "Your father Abraham saw my day and rejoiced and was glad about it." He saw my day and was glad. And I thought about when was it that Abraham saw something about the day of Christ. And we're going to look at that today. Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 22. And I want to read through part of this passage of Scripture, verse 1 through verse 14. Verse 14 will be my text. Let's stand together, please, in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse 1. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said to Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him." Now, let's skip down here and read verse number 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place that God had told of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, "Here I am, I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Let's pause for just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord and the fellowship with these dear folk. Lord, we appreciate the blessings of the day. Thank you most of all for the gift of your Son. And our plea is the blood of Christ and that alone. Lord, we ask that you look on your Son and have mercy on all of us. We pray, God, for your help today and your touch and your anointing to preach the Word of God. And I pray for this congregation. Help them, Lord, to have ears to hear and receive the good Word of God. And I pray that you'll bless our time together. May Jesus be magnified. May souls come to know Christ. May saints be fed and blessed. And may God get the glory for it all. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you. You may be seated all over the house. In verse number 14, "And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh." And I want to preach on that subject today, Jehovah Jireh, which simply translated means this: the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. I want to just say that this is a most wonderful chapter in the book of Genesis, because here Abraham catches a glimpse of that day that God would not spare his son, but would give him up for us all. And as I look at this story that is before us, we began in our Sunday school lesson this morning talking about submission. And this is a wonderful story of submission. This is one of several crises in the life of Abraham where he had to come to that place to submit to the will of the Lord. Not always easy, but it's always right. There was the time that he had to separate from his homeland. That was a crisis of submission. There was a time when he had to separate from his family. That was a crisis of submission. There was a time when he had to separate from his beloved nephew Lot. There again, it was a crisis of submission. There was a time when he was even called upon to separate from his son Ishmael, which was again a crisis of submission. But I think here before us is one of the greatest trials and tests of Abraham's faith, as he is called on by the Lord to offer his son, his only son, whom he loved. And interesting to note that here in our text is the very first time that love is mentioned in the Bible. And it's interesting for me to know that the love that is mentioned here is the love for an only son. And when I think about the love that God had for us, you see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." What love that God had for us. But the submission here that Abraham was called upon to surrender, it was no easy task. It was a time, I'm sure, that really taxed his heart. Yet in each one of these places that I mentioned, you find Abraham, who was a friend of God, submitting himself to the will of God. Not only was this a story of submission, but this is, in fact, a story of sacrifice. Oh, yes. Sacrifice. What a sacrifice Abraham is called upon. I'm sure that he would have rather given anything that he had. I'm sure he'd rather given all of his camels, all of his asses, all of his sheep, all of his oxen, all of his possessions. I'm sure he would have rather given anything than to give his own son. I'm looking at this child in the lap of his father. And when you think about you would give anything for the life of that child, your own life, your own money, all your possessions. Probably the most precious thing you hold is right there. But can you think about giving that child to redeem somebody else? Giving that child to save somebody else's life? Giving that child as a sacrifice? When I think about the love of God, I think about that God gave His own Son for us. Amen. The Bible said that perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is so vast and so great, I don't think we can really but just touch the surface of it. I give this simple illustration. I'm 67, almost 68 years old. I came, you know, it was my lot in life to be on the draft, being drafted. And I was 1A and getting ready to be drafted. But God worked it out, and there was, I missed Vietnam. But I came out of an Army family, and I was born in an Army camp. In fact, y'all wouldn't know it, I was born in Tokyo, Japan. I really was. Yeah, I was born in Tokyo. And everywhere I go, people look at me and say, well, he don't look like no Japanese I see. But anyway, I was born there and drug all over and Army camps. But I would say this, in the Vietnam War, when I thought about it, if you can just bear with me for this illustration. Now, the Bible said, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. Well, you think about GIs who have trained together and worked together and fought side by side in the war. And you can imagine a grenade coming from the Viet Cong and landing in a foxhole where there's a group of GIs. Now, it would be heroic, but it would be scarce. It's a scarcity. It's something scarcely for a righteous man would die. One would die. And peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. It's not unheard of. It has happened where one GI looking at his comrades, seeing that grenade, diving upon it to take the blast of it to save his comrades. Now, that is heroic love. That is, you know, perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die, but it's rare. But now think of this scenario. Think of a grenade going from this side and landing in the enemy's foxhole. And thinking about the commander-in-chief saying to his own son and sending him to get into the foxhole of the enemy and to jump on the grenade to take the blast of the grenade to save the enemies. You say, that's ridiculous. Oh, yes, it is. But now you're getting close to understand what he says. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet enemies, yet sinners, we were at enmity with God by wicked works. We were at enmity with God, and yet he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. His son jumped on the grenade of the wrath of God and took the full blast at Calvary so that we that accept him can be saved. Oh, the love of God. I'm telling you what, it's so big, it's bigger than we can tell about.
Could we think the ocean fill and were the sky parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole though stretched from sky to sky. I said all of that to say this. I'm sure glad God loved me. And I can tell you without batting an eye that He loves every one of you. God so loved the world, amen, all kinds, classes, creeds, and dialects, amen, and colors. Thank God He loves us, amen, and He gave Himself for us. When you look at the story of Abraham, it is a story of sacrifice. Not just a sacrifice, but a sacrifice of that which was most dear to his heart, his own son. This is a story not only of sacrifice, but this is a story of suffering. I'm seeing something about the character of God in this story. As I think about Abraham representing the Father, Isaac representing Christ, I think about what suffering in mind and heart Abraham must have went through. The mental anguish and turmoil in his soul as he goes up Moriah's mountain and knowing that God had told him to go there and to slay his son. My, what suffering in his heart. When I think about that, you know, we talk about the sufferings of Christ. And I'm telling you what, the sufferings of Christ are beyond explanation. He suffered as no mortal man has ever suffered. He bore our sin, our shame, our pain. He bore our hell. He bore the wrath of God. He suffered in body, soul, and spirit. He suffered to wear even before the night before the cross. He sweat great drops of blood because of the mental anguish. He saw what was coming, that He, a holy, holy God, was to be made sin for us. My, how He suffered. Christ suffered for our sins. But have you ever thought and thought about the suffering of the Father? Have you ever thought about God the Father and what? And God the Holy Ghost. When Christ cried on the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, the Father, my God, the Holy Ghost. Christ Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. And yet there is a separation here at the cross because Christ has been made sin for us who knew no sin. And God is too holy to look on sin. And God, as it were, turned His back on His own Son. My friend, and Christ cried, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Do you think that that did not move the heart of God? Don't you think God would have rather given all the sheep and oxen of the whole world if it could have redeemed one soul, if He could have dug up all the silver and pearls and all of the diamonds and rubies and all the precious things of all creation? God would have rather given it all instead of giving His Son. The best way to illustrate this is a true story in my life. When my child was just 18 months old, we'd been invited by a guest for a meal. And my child was up playing on a set of steps that had just been laid out of fresh brick, about six courses high. You know how they like to climb? And he climbed up there and he fell off and just cut him and scarred him, probably broke his ribs. And I mean, we had to take him home. We tried to comfort him. We tried to doctor him. We tried to take care of him. We finally put him in the bed with us, and he just cried himself off to sleep. And every once in a while, he'd wake up and jerk and cry again. And by this time, I got to bawling. I got to bawling and crying over there. And I said to my wife, Mary, I said, "Hun, if I could, I'd take all of that off of him and put it on me. Broken ribs, cut, whatever. It's hurting me to see him hurt. It's hurting. And about that time, the Spirit of the Lord moved on my soul and said, if you be an evil, care for your son and suffer when you see him suffer. How much more did your heavenly Father suffer when his son hanged on the cross, bleeding and dying, beat, my friend, there suffering unspeakable torment? Hey, don't tell me that God does not have love. He has love for his own son. What amazes me is that his love for us, amen, calls him to send his own son. What a sacrifice, the suffering of the Father. And then I see something here. Not only is this a story of sacrifice and suffering, but it is a story of substitution. Well, Abraham bound Isaac. He raised the knife. He's getting ready to slay his son. But you know, God called through an angel and said, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. He said, do him no harm. What amazes me, God had a sacrifice, a substitute. I like the way Dr. Joe Author said this. I believe, brother and sister, while Abraham was coming up one side of Moriah's mountain, God had a ram climbing the mountain from the other side. And my friend, at the very place where Abraham would be, God knew, and God had a substitute. God had a sacrifice so that Abraham could spare his own son and offer the substitute in the stead of his own son. Oh, it is a story of substitution, and the gospel is a message of substitution. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. I want to tell you, He died for us in our stead. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By His stripes we are healed. I'm telling you, all we like sheep are going astray, but the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He died as our substitute. What amazes me about these two stories, the story of Calvary and the story of Moriah's mountain in Genesis 22, is this. Abraham got his son spared. Amen. But when it come to us, God did not spare his son. Romans 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for what? For us all. Amen. And how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And then the last thing here, not only is this a story of substitution, but this is a story of supply. I'm glad that God supplied a Savior. I'm glad, praise God, He didn't leave us in our lost condition without hope, without God. All of us would have been headed to hell with no hope whatsoever. We could not lift ourselves. We could not change ourselves. We could not redeem ourselves. But God supplied the need. Amen. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. I thought about the word Jehovah Jireh. This is a compound covenant name of Jehovah. This is a word that has been transliterated out of the Hebrew language. They don't try to interpret it here, but just simply transliterate it. Jehovah, that means God, the I Am, the self-existing, the eternal, the one who was and is to come. The great I Am, Jehovah, Yahweh of Israel, the eternal self-existing one. The word Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. Jireh is a Hebrew verb that has three meanings. One means it means to see. Another meaning is that it means to foresee. And another meaning is that it means to appear. And boy, when you put that Jehovah Jireh together, what he's saying is, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He said the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. I'm glad the Lord will see to it when it comes to meeting our needs in salvation. He sent His Son as a sufficient supply, amen, and a Savior and a Redeemer. So I think about Jehovah Jireh. I'll be done in about 3 minutes. I want you to see the proclamation here. The Bible said, and Abraham called the name of that place. He's celebrating divine deliverance. What sadness he had has now been turned to joy because a sacrifice has been found instead of his son. The perception here, Jehovah Jireh. The word Jireh again means to see. God sees and he's aware. It's good to know that though others around us may not perceive the load we carry, yet God does. God sees. He sees your need. He sees every one of us where we're at, what we need. Some of us have physical needs. Some of us have spiritual needs. Some of us have financial needs. I want to tell you that God sees. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord's perception, he understands. Isn't it good to know that God knows? I'm glad he knows where I'm at. I'm glad he knows what I need. I'm glad he knows what this pastor needs and what this church needs. He sees. I see perception there. I see in that word providence there. Because we said Jehovah Jireh, another meaning of that Hebrew verb Jireh is to foresee. I'm telling you, God saw us before we got here. Amen. Christ died for us before we got here. Amen. I'm telling you what, he paid for our sins before we ever got here. I'm telling you, God sees this thing from beginning to end and end to beginning and all in between. And God's providence, not only does he see our need, but he foreseen our need. Could I tell you what? That when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden along with Eve at the... Someone said Adam and Eve ate us out of house and home. Well, someone else said, they got to blaming each one about it, but I want you to know, brother, they tried to cover themselves, but God wouldn't accept that. But I want you to know, when Adam and Eve fell, it did not catch God by surprise. In fact, God, before he made this earth, already had planned, set in motion, provided for a sacrifice to be offered that would take away our sin. The blood of Jesus, Peter says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that, amen, that was slain before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In other words, God done had the plan. He looked down and saw our need before he got here. I'm glad Jesus paid it all with his blood, and you can come to him today and be saved and have your sins washed away. God seen you. Hey, did you know what? God saw you was going to be here today. You didn't just happen to show up. God knew you'd be here today. He knew I'd be here today. Amen. God's made provision in advance. We've sung the old songs of Zion. We've been taught the Word of God in Sunday school. We're preaching the Word of truth unto you now. And God knows you'd be here. Amen. And he's got a word for you. Can I tell you that God's providence has made it possible for you to hear and receive what he has for you today. Not only the word of providence here, but I see something else. A word of presence here. When I said Jireh also means to appear, I'm glad God appeared on our behalf. I'm glad, praise God, divine intervention. I'm glad I had that first at hand experience where God's, amen, spoke to my heart and revealed himself unto me. I see here also divine provision. God hath provided the place here. I end with this. And the brother would come with an invitation. Well, I finish this up. I think about the place here. And Abraham called the name of the place. Now, this was Moriah's mountain. Did you know that this is the same mountain where David purchased Ornan's threshing floor, which would be the same mountain where the temple was built. But this same property, the highest peak of it, was where there was a place called Calvary, Moriah's mountain. That's the place. It isn't no accident. It's providence, amen, that selected this mountain, because on this mountain, God spared Abraham's son, but on this mountain, God would instead offer his only son. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to cut flips on the inside. I'm glad that he loved me so like he did. And the place here, at this very place, a sacrifice would be provided. At this very place, a substitute would be permitted. At this very place, a son would be punished. God punished Jesus so he could pass over my sin. I bless his... Well, he didn't pass over my sin. He punished my sin in his son. He gave me the righteousness of his son, and Christ took my sin upon himself and paid for that. What grace, what grace. Here on this mountain, salvation would be purchased. Here on this mountain, the supply would be procured. It is a comfort to know that God will see to it. I want to tell you, come on, brother, let's get ready for an invitation. While we get ready to sing, I want to ask you something today. And I realize that we have people here from all over. But this gospel message, amen, it'll save to the uttermost. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, not to just a few, but to everyone that believeth. Amen. It's the power of God, the dynamite of God. Amen. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed. I want you to know that God saw you here today. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. For just a second, I'm going to pray. Pastor can stand here with me beside me. I'm turning it over to him here. He's going to give the invitation. But I wonder if there is a soul here today. Say, Preacher Rudy, I've never really come to Christ. I've never really trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. I've never really trusted Him. I didn't know that He loved me so. I'm sure glad to find out. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants to save you. But if you reject His Son, there's no other remedy. You see, God's looking for some people that'll accept His Son. And if you'll receive Jesus, you receive salvation. We talk about salvation as if it's a thing or an it, but salvation is a person. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is Jesus in your heart? How many of you can hear today say, Brother Rudy, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is in my heart? Raise that hand as a testimony. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. May put them down. I saw several hands that were not lifted. I want to tell you, you can have Jesus today. Come and call upon Him. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Are you struggling under a load of sin? Maybe you're here today and that Sunday school lesson pricked your heart on surrender. And I dealt with that even in this message. Maybe God's dealt with you about surrender, Christian, and you need to come and kneel and seek God's face in prayer. Or maybe talk with the pastor after the service. But I'm going to turn it over to him. Father, I preach the message you've laid on my heart. I pray that it'll bear fruit to God. and you'll be glorified by it. I pray you'd bless the people of God with the word and bless this wonderful work here and this dear man of God as he labors here. Thank you for the privilege of being here. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take our hymn books. We're going to go to hymn number 162, the song is